All right. I'm heard. Perfect. So this morning, the reading comes from Acts 10:44 to 11:1. So a bit of history. This comes from a time after the death of Jesus, because nowhere, one of the things that is mentioned is that he's posthumously in the name of Jesus. So it would indicate, and nowhere in here is he actually referenced. So it would lead me to actually understand that he is not actually present at this time, and Peter is kind of taken charge or taken leadership of the disciples. So here we go. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God.
Thanks so much, Cam. And you're very right. This story takes place in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, the disciples had a tradition that they would go out and they would share the faith and then we'd come back. And they report all that had happened to their congregations. So Peter has gone out. The Holy Spirit has descended upon the Gentiles. And he returns to tell his church, who's a little concerned, like, why are you baptizing them? What is going on? He returns to say that God is indeed alive, well, and active, and even among the Gentiles. And it is a wonderful thing. He returns to the church, and he shares this testimony. He says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had come on us at the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord, that's Jesus, had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave the same gift he gave to those us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Knox recently sent out 20 missionaries of our own and who have just recently returned from the Dominican Republic. And we have come back to share stories with you that indeed God is alive and well and active in the Dominican. It is a country that still needs much help, much assistance from those who have much. But indeed, God is alive and well, and we had the chance to see that with our own eyes. So what we're going to do this morning is a little different. We're going to call up a variety of people who are going to come up and share their stories, the things that they saw, the things that touched their heart, how they saw God alive and working, and how they saw him answer our prayers. The first two people I'd like to call up in just a sec are Claire and Grace Mezjek, and they were a wonderful addition to our team. Grace was a veteran of our 2017 team, and Claire came. Claire was a little bit like the team mom for our trip, making sure that everybody was all right and everything. I would show up to the work site to find out that I hadn't been there, but I had issued a variety of instructions to particularly the kids to wear their hats and put on their sunscreen. And so Claire had been saying, and Pastor Mike says so. So they were a wonderful addition to our team and definitely helped make sure that we were taking care of ourselves. Ladies, why don't you come on up and share a little bit about what you saw happen in the Dominican.
I feel happy to go first because I was number 5 on the bus, so I never got to go first. So this is my story. The people of the Dominican, they're very proud people, and they're not afraid to ask for help. They know when they see the blue bus coming into their village We're there to do great things. They appreciate the work we do, and they try to repay us by offering water and bananas. But the voice I kept hearing in my head was Mike saying, only drink the water, only drink and eat water, only, sorry, only drink and eat what is given to us by Mike and Laura. You learn to say no gracias pretty quick. I enjoyed having conversations with the people we worked with, even though there was a language barrier. Winder, the window guy, showed me a picture of his three boys and his wife, and I in turn showed him a picture of Annie and Grace, and then of Greg. He managed to say the girls looked like me, but that Greg was a very big man. Working alongside the people, we all had one goal in mind, and that was to build and paint the houses. The families who are going to receive the houses we built are very happy and excited to have this opportunity. To them, they have won the lottery. It's a two-bedroom house, an indoor bathroom, a kitchen living room, and that's it. Their new home is nothing compared to what we live in here, but it's free of termites, has electricity, plumbing, and is a stable home to raise their children. One night during evening devotions, I was given the question, one reason why I'm glad that I'm serving on this team. I didn't realize I was living in a bubble. I didn't realize other parts of the world lived like this. You see pictures on the news and you read about it, but until you experience it, it doesn't seem real. I learned some things on the trip. You don't have to do something big to make a difference. Every little bit we did helped. Going on this trip, you do realize what we have taken for granted living in Canada. I don't feel like I gave up 8 days of my personal time. I feel very proud of what we have done, the new friends I have made, and the new Euchre rules that I have made, hypothetically speaking. No, Mike, I'm pretty sure I don't have a club. On our last day at the construction site, Winder came up to me and gave me a hug and said goodbye. I said, no, it's not goodbye, it's see you soon. I put up two fingers and said 2 years.
Two years ago, I was given the opportunity to go on my first mission trip. I didn't know what to expect on what I was going to learn, not only about poverty, but about myself and my own limits. 2 years ago, I made new friends who I can now call a family. I became connected with people who I never would have talked to if it weren't for this trip. 2 years later, Pastor Mike came up to me and told me about his plan to return to the Rio Vista Guesthouse and serve the people of the Dominican for another week. I attended fundraisers, collected donations, and raised money. And finally, it was time to go. It's hard to explain the effect that a trip like this had on me. You experience emotions that you never knew you had. Pastor Mike continued to push the group, both mentally and physically, till we were finally able to open our eyes and see what the world was really like. Not everyone goes to school, not everyone has proper care in a hospital, and not everyone is able to eat 3 meals a day. Not everyone is able to live their lives the way we do, and we take that for granted. We forget the truth and continue to live blindly, and that's what the trip taught me. I learned how to show compassion to my neighbors, offer kindness to strangers, and gratitude to the people around me. I learned that it's okay to ask for help and to never take my education for granted. I learned that not every child is granted a childhood, and not every person has the same rights and privileges as we do. But most importantly, I learned what love was, because the people of the Dominican showed us love, even through everything that they had been through.
Thank you very much. Those are very powerful words, ladies. Thank you. Ben and Rachel Garretts are veterans of our 2017 trip. One of the things I love very much about doing ministry with Ben and Rachel is their dedication. When we arrived in the Dominican, Ben was one of the first to start spending time with the people and the children that we were going to minister to. Our students who made the posters that you're going to see out in the gathering hall on the wall here and along the tables, Rachel Garretts and many of our other students stayed an hour or more after the end of our program to help finish them up and get them ready for the Sunday. They are people who just give everything that they have and everything they do, and it's always a pleasure to do ministry with both of you. So come on up and share with our church family.
Okay, so as Mike said, I went on the trip 2 years ago. And so one of the things that I was really happy that we got to do this year was on our last work day, our bus, the Knox bus, got to leave half an hour early from the work site, and we drove to the house that we built 2 years ago. So when we left last time, I don't think we had gotten to the point where like the roof had got was ready to go on yet. It was still like in the building stages. But when we went this time, you can see we're all like in a group picture up there in front of it. It's painted, and the homeowner has like gardens out front and all kinds of like nice plants there. And she invited us into her home and all her furniture in there, and it just looked like a really nice place to live. And she seemed very happy. She had a small backyard, and her younger daughter was there with her, and she was a bit shy and didn't want to say hi, which was okay. But her older daughter wasn't there. And we found out when we turned around to go back out the door, there was a picture of her older daughter in a graduation cap and gown. So she had graduated from high school, and the mother informed us through the translator that she was now attending the vocational school that the Samaritan Foundation had set up. So that was really cool to really see the difference we had made in that family's life 2 years ago.
So one thing I enjoyed was just seeing everything again. Like Mike said, I went 2 years ago, and that was an unforgettable experience. So going back this time, it was cool because you could see places that we had been before, see people we had seen before when we went to the vocational school, played with a lot of the kids, and then going back this time, you saw them and you recognized them and just started to play our game of tag all over again. So it was fun. We also went to the hospital this year. It was hard for a lot of people, but I think for me it was almost easier than last time because of how many improvements were made to the hospital, and it was just awesome seeing how well the country is doing just in 2 years' time. I just love seeing how the country had changed and how everyone had grown up since the last time. One last thing I enjoyed seeing again, well, not enjoyed, but I saw again was a nice big spider, this time hiding in the bathroom under some hand towels, so it was a common house spider. That's what I enjoyed.
Don't tell them about the spiders, they won't come next time. Very small. Andrew was one of the students who really embraced what it meant to be pushed on this trip. Praying out loud in a group setting is not easy for most people, but Andrew took on that challenge and regularly prayed for our team members. As the week progressed, he told me that he wasn't feeling well, and that's normal. The heat and the work get to a lot of people. And despite my suggestion that he just relax in the shade and just take it easy, he kept on building along with the rest of our team. Andrew faced every challenge head on and never let anything deter him. I'm really glad that he's become a member of our team, and I'm very proud of what he has to share and say with us today. So come on up, Andrew.
Okay, so when I was... Hello. Yeah. Not used to microphones. When I was at the Dominican Republic, there was hope in those people that were there. Now, hope can get you through a lot of tough times. Even when you're facing the angel of death, you can still feel hope. When I was at the hospital, I saw a lot of sick people. I mean, it is a hospital, but like, when we gave them gifts, I saw the happiness and the hope that we gave them. When I was in the orphanage, what was her name? I forget.
Sister Mercedes.
Sister Mercedes. She gave those kids hope. Even if those kids couldn't see it with their own eyes, she gave them hope. And at the school, it was a sign of hope, and those kids could get a job and provide for their families in the future. We gave so much people hope by building a house, and I saw so much happiness in the Dominican Republic.
The next family who's going to come share with us are the Mackenzies. And I am reminded of an old lesson I learned about bacon and eggs. When you sit down to eat a meal of bacon and eggs, the chicken has made a contribution. It's good, but it can make that contribution again and again and again. The pig, however, has made a commitment to your meal. The Mackenzies came, their entire family came, and they made a commitment to this trip. I won't share the details, but their family gave in a deep and wonderful and lasting way. And I just wanted to make sure that they were honored and celebrated for that commitment to the Dominican and to our team. So I'd love to have the family come on up, guys. You can just take a seat here and you can come and share. I'd love to hear your stories.
First of all, I'd like to say that, you know, I've always wanted to do a missionary work or mission trip, but I always struggled with the financial burden of, you know, like how do you take care of your finances and obligations at home and then pay to go somewhere else and then also support the people where you are financially as well. And I came to a realization that it takes a lot of help. You need help. And so for starters, I'd like to thank everybody in the congregation for helping us to go to the Dominican. I had so many experiences. To share them all would, you'd probably start sleeping after a while. But one of my best experiences, I'd have to say, was actually meeting the families of the people that were getting the homes and being able to put a face to the name and what we were doing, right? I'd say my second best experience was eating a traditional Dominican meal with those families, like the food, right? Everybody likes food. I believe I saw and heard God's work in the Dominican by seeing over the over 2,000 homes in various villages that have been erected there through God's will, through help of the Samaritan Foundation and many feet and hands of God's people. I heard God's voice through the words of everybody that was there, and through the gratitude of the families that lived in the village where we were working. My faith has grown from this experience because of all I've heard and seen and done. And not because seeing is believing. I used to think, why does God allow such poverty, terrible living conditions, or corrupt governments to exist? I came to realize that it's not just God's responsibility. Because of free will, It's our responsibility to do something about those situations with God's help.
Something I found to be really amazing was when me and my mom, Maria, were painting a house. I went to drink some water, and three little kids started washing my hands. Now, this won't just happen in Canada. They just would go about their day. And also, seeing the happiness on the kids' faces at the orphanage was heartwarming. They were still happy despite what they had gone through. It was also really nice to go to a school as well. A kid would just come up to you and grab your hand to lead you somewhere, to play basketball or football or another game. They would play hand games with you, and oh, did they love their stickers. You would see a kid run by, face completely covered in stickers. I was also surprised at how many of them knew English. They said they learned it from an app called Duolingo, which my mom used to try and learn Spanish as well. In conclusion, it was an experience like no other, and I recommend you go at least once if you have not been there before. Thank you for listening.
Hi. So I'd say, like, there's a lot of good memories that we had when we went, but I'd say one of the best ones would probably be that when we went to the school, and it was cool to see how happy the kids were to just get some stickers, lollipops, or a balloon. So happy that they actually chased us for them. Whereas I would notice that here, kids probably wouldn't be that happy or grateful or excited to get that. They'd probably be like, they would like getting it, but they wouldn't be as happy as they were because the kids there probably don't normally get that sort of thing. The most challenging thing I did, to be honest, would probably be the work in general, just because I've never really done work like that before, but I always push myself to do my best and get the work done. How this trip has probably changed me for the better is that after seeing how little the people really had, it has made me realize that I shouldn't take things for granted anymore. My faith grew more seeing how the little or big things that we did made people there so happy and grateful, and it has made me want to do more to help people in more ways. And I would also love to go on another mission trip if I get a chance. Because of this trip, I now believe that everyone should go on one if they get a chance, because it really does show you that you shouldn't take things for granted anymore because of how very little that they do have compared to what we have. Thank you.
So like Corey, I have also wanted to go on a mission trip for several years now, and especially since hearing all of the stories from the 2017 trip. I'm so glad I did, and especially glad it was with my family. I saw them do amazing things, including pushing through illness and injury and stretching comfort zone limits. I don't have just one best memory to share. There are several. I loved seeing the children each day and their pure joy playing with us gringos. They don't need fancy toys or anything material to make them smile. But they certainly did smile a lot when they got the stickers and balloons and candy. I will also never forget the gratitude of the patients in the hospital and receiving our company, prayers, and hygiene bags. My faith has grown simply by witnessing the great faith and love of God our two families, as well as the other families, have. Also by meeting Sister Mercedes of the Casa Nazaret Orphanage. She heard a call from God and tried to ignore it, but in the end obeyed. Now these children have a home and a family and are loved and nurtured and protected. It's very easy to not hear or question a calling. Thankfully, she came around. I think the one phrase that sums it all up came from the pastor at the church we attended. He said, "You serve the same God in Canada that we serve here in the Dominican Republic." That stood out because it's a reminder that no matter who we are or where we are or whether we're rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy, young or old, no matter what, there is one God, and he looks after us all. And as we heard during the trip, we are all Jesus' hands and feet to help him with that.
Thank you so much to half our team that has shared this morning. If you're interested in staying around, the rest of the team, the other half, is going to share at 11. So I just wanted to share one or two pictures here. This is what on the left up there, a home in progress looks like. Our mission and our simple, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus by building two homes for two deserving families. And then on the right there, we've got the soon-to-be new home and the families up front who are going to be receiving these. These homes make a huge difference for people who live in poverty, who spend 40 or 50% of their wages every single month to rent a home that they'll never own, to struggle to keep their kids in school, to provide for the books and the uniforms. And these homes are a hand up, not only to the families, but to future generations. Our hope is that alleviates them and helps them leave poverty. These are what the finished homes look like in the village. And like Corey alluded to, it's somewhere between, I think, 1,800 and 2,000 homes across 15 villages that the Samaritan Foundation has built. We had a wonderful time being able to show up to people's houses who'd been there for a while and start to paint. And the moms and the dads and the kids would come out and give us a hand because these were their homes. They took real pride and real ownership in their own communities. It was wonderful. And as Rachel said, we dropped in to see our 2017 family, who is doing so very well, incredibly well. And it was just a privilege to be able to see them. I think she recognized certainly Diane and a few other people, and just there were warm embraces and hugs all around. I want to thank very much our team who went. I know I pushed you again and again and again from the minute that we got off that plane to when we came back. And even here this morning, I'm so proud that you rose to the challenge every single time. I am truly blessed to have served along beside you. And I want to offer a thank you to so many of the people in this room in our congregation. This running this trip is not a one person or a one team thing, but I want to acknowledge the support that we received from Session, from the Ministry and Outreach Committee, the Praise Team, the Company of Saints, the Ladies Sewing Group, Jean Wilkinson, Diane Bulmer, George Anderson, and Deb Roberts for your prayers while we were away. We knew we could feel God's love and faithfulness as we served. Thank you again so much for your support.